You're listening to the Realized Empath Podcast, where we get real about loving and stumbling through our sensitive lives, with your host and holistic counselor, Kristen Schwartz, who helps redefine what's possible for an empath who embraces a path of self-healing.
Hello, hello. Welcome back, you guys. I'm so happy you're all here. And I just want to thank you all for subscribing and downloading my podcast. I get notifications. And when I see that someone else has joined and is actually listening, it really makes me happy. So I just want to thank you again for tuning in. So here's what we're going to do today. So last week's podcast was such a hit. And I find that there are quite a few people that get benefit from the Q&A. So we're going to do one more Q&A podcast. In fact, over on my Instagram today, I actually did a story and asked my followers to ask me any questions. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go back and cover some questions that have been submitted in the past, and then I'm actually going to go over live and answer some of the questions that are sitting over on my Instagram and answer some of those. So let's dive in. So the first question I have is, what advice would you give to an empath who has no one who understands the way that they are? First, I want to say that I understand the difficulty in that. I understand that when we are on the journey of accepting ourselves and really discovering who we are and owning our gifts, that it can feel lonely sometimes. So I just want to make sure that you feel heard and seen in feeling alone. So what has worked for me in the past to kind of move through that space is writing. So I write and eventually publish articles outlining my experience. And like magic, those who were like me, and when I say like me, I mean they aligned with their journey. They saw themselves in my story. And those type of people came out to play. So I would say find a creative outlet and be open to creating space for those who will get you. Also, that you have to understand that if we are prioritizing others to understand us before we truly accept and understand ourselves, we kind of are putting the cart before the horse. So really dive into like radical honesty. Like, how much do you truly accept and understand yourself? Because the more grounded we are in self-acceptance, the less it's going to bother us when other people don't get us. Because really nobody has to get us. Nobody else knows our journey, our inner workings, the what goes on in our bodies more than we do. We really can't, no matter how many words we put to our individual experience, we really can never convince another person of the validity of what we're experiencing because they're not experiencing it themselves. So kind of take the weight away from other people getting us and just work on you getting you. Okay, the next question. How do you improve your intuition? I love this question, and this is a question that so many people ask and why it's part of my Realized Empath course, why we spend an entire Saturday just diving into intuition. So intuition is, when it's nurtured, one of our greatest strengths and gifts as an intuitive, as an empath, intuitive empath. So by taking daily action to connect back to our bodies and allowing ourselves the stillness it takes to feel the subtle nudges from our senses. So a lot of us are so preoccupied with outside energy that we don't touch our own. Like, we're looking outside instead of tuning in to what our body is sensing and feeling. And so we miss the nudges of our intuition. And we end up, a lot of us end up thinking, oh, we just don't have it. We do. We just have forgotten to focus on ourselves so we can actually notice it when it comes up. We can actually sense it, right? Plus, I have some exercises on my website that you can actually download. They're in the Empath Morning Ritual Journal. And at the very top of my website, you'll see that you can opt in and I can send that to you. There's some great exercises and they're fun too, which is a bonus. Okay, next question. What do you think is the best way to recover after being drained by a narcissist? Okay, so I'm speaking from my own experience here, distance. And I have to also be honest that the narcissistic abuse that I have in my past, it took me a very long time to realize that distance really was the option to heal, my only option to heal. I tried so much, so many other ways, and it wasn't until I could actually set strict boundaries and hold them that I actually started to see that I could heal and actually see the damage too when I created some space. So I had to get the physical and emotional distance. I had to stop feeling guilty for having to cut the person out of my life completely. And if I could go back to the beginning knowing what I know now, I would have set energetic and physical boundaries and wouldn't have allowed it to continue for all those years. So with the narcissist, and I know there's many of you that reach out that say, I can't cut this person out of my life. They're my ex-spouse. I get that and I hear you. So in that case, you would minimize contact. And if you have to, have strict boundaries around how they contact you. Maybe it's not over the phone in person. Maybe it's through email. Maybe it's through an attorney. Maybe it's, you know, so you create some boundaries so you can still find that space when you have to be around that person. Okay. I was recently asked if being an empath was real and was wondering, how would you answer? My answer would be, what's real? What constitutes real? Are we talking about science? Because everything that was once not in a science book eventually became, you know, was added to a science book. Everything that's in a science book now, everything that's in a scientific study now once wasn't. So if science makes you feel more grounded, then I would maybe do an internet search for specific articles on empaths. But always remember that empath is just a word. It's a label. How we experience the world is 100% real, accurate, and you're the only one that actually has the power to invalidate your experience, right? Because somebody else could say, it's not real. What you're saying isn't true. But really that holds no validity if you know for yourself it's true, right? So you have to really make sure that you're not gaslighting yourself. So if you have this experience and this is how you perceive the world and this is what you feel, then it's really just as important to check yourself and make sure that you're not doubting and gaslighting yourself. Okay, next question. Why do empaths often feel not noticed? What could an empath do to be noticed? Most feel unnoticed because they don't spend enough of their time and their energy noticing themselves. So most spend their energy trying to get others to see when all your inner child really wants is for you to connect to your deepest needs and take accountability to meet them. So again, in this situation, we may say, I feel unnoticed. And then we think, oh, I just need to jump higher, you know, shake my arms around in the air. And I need to somehow do something on the outside to get other people to turn and see me. When really that deep need to feel noticed, usually 99.9% of the time, is because we're not noticing ourselves and we're actually not connecting to our own energy and taking care of our needs. Next one. I find that I'm out of touch with my senses and feelings. How can I embrace them? I would say sit in stillness and focus on your body. And it doesn't have to be a long time. You could just start with a couple minutes, find a quiet place to sit where you won't be interrupted, and focus on your body and notice what bubbles up for you. And ask your body to show you what joy feels like. You know, when you sense it, ask your body to expand that. Another way you can get in touch with your senses and feelings, I like to do this exercise with my clients, is you can sit wherever you're at with your palms up. You can do it right now. Sit with your palms up and focus all of your attention on the space right above the your palms of your hands. So let's say like a half an inch above, kind of like floating above the palms of your hands, and do that until you can notice a buzzing of your energy. So like the buzzing energy that's kind of layered on top of your palms. So spend time doing that, connecting to your energy, connecting to your body, and just notice what comes up for you. Try not to judge it or add thought and just say, okay, I notice that I have some tightness in my chest, or I notice that my right shin feels sore. You know, just notice, just bring yourself back to notice. And that's how we get back in touch with our senses and feelings, by taking daily action and to intentionally connect to ourselves. Okay, here's a good one. Are empaths often introverts and highly sensitive? So I believe all empaths are highly sensitive, but not all highly sensitive people are empaths. And there are introverted empaths, there are extroverted empaths. I think there's many variations, as you know, I'm sure it goes on and on for infinite. I mean, we're all different, we're all unique. So again, empath is a label, and each individual person is different and unique. So there's all kinds of combinations. All right, here's a good one. How do I stop trying to make people who reject me like me? Guilty as charged. Okay, so this can be codependency. So when others reject us, it's a call to accept ourselves, not a call to change ourselves for others. Let's be honest, being rejected sucks. Like, it does not feel good. But when we truly accept ourselves, we understand that we aren't for everyone and everyone isn't for us. And also, I would say maybe dive into attachment theory and see what your attachment style is and see what led to that. So next question, how to stop comparing myself to others? I would say this, I found it most difficult to, when we have the intention of wanting to change something, we have to make sure that, like, how much energy are we putting forth to fight against it? So if you compare yourself to others, then the opposite of that, which would be a more empowered stance, would be embracing all of who you are, the dark and the light. So when we reject our dark, we reject the whole of ourselves. So comparison is holding your dark up to their light. So light to light, dark to dark. But remember that you will stop comparing yourself to others when you fully embrace and celebrate yourself. All right, so here's a really cool question. As I'm trying to heal myself, I keep attracting people that need to be healed. And here is my answer. This sounds like a perfect scenario and a beautiful call to strengthen boundaries, right? So I believe the question I'm thinking, right, because I don't have this person in front of me, but I'm guessing they're kind of like judging it as a bad thing. Like, oh, I'm healing myself and now I have this problem. But we can actually just kind of reframe it and go, okay, it's okay that I'm attracting people that need to be healed. That's just a call for me to strengthen my boundaries, which is still, right, on that path of healing. All right, next question. How do I break codependency cycles and habits? Recognizing them is huge. I know that for myself, once I recognized the patterns, it really helped me to dive in and just kind of learn a little bit more about codependency. It helps me to understand the patterns and the certain behaviors that kind of align with codependency, because the more aware I am about how it works, the more I can recognize it when it shows up in myself. So recognizing them is huge. And then practicing self-awareness when you're around those that the codependency patterns are the strongest. So it's when we remain self-aware and conscious that we can actually choose different behaviors. All right, next question. How do you go about healing those parts of yourself so that I no longer attract it? And then there's like a second part of the question. Do I help heal them So my answer would be, it's less about stopping the attraction of those and more about recognizing your energy limits and staying true to yourself and to your boundaries. If we help others to our detriment, it's codependence. So if you realize, okay, I have this pattern of behavior that is self-destructive, and it's, and usually the behavior is triggered by a specific person. So it's like this pattern of behavior that you have within a relationship. So do you help shed the light or like bring that other person to consciousness and help them see their part? That usually doesn't go well. And we can't drag someone into consciousness. We can't drag them into seeing something they're not ready to see. So again, this is about our energy, caring for ourselves, and being the model of change, not trying to change others. So again, it's less about stopping and the attraction of those and more about recognizing our own energy limits and staying true to ourselves and then having those boundaries around those behaviors. All right, so here we go. How to handle my emotions when meeting people that always turn the conversations back to them. Okay, so I'm guessing this person has someone in their life, and then every time they're around that person, they feel like the conversation always ends up being about them. I get it. So what I would say is I would actually ask a question back, and I would say, what is the story that you're telling yourself about the people that turn the story to them? Because under that story is an unmet need. So I would start there. A lot of us would just keep pointing our fingers to the person, like they're the problem. They're the one that's turning it to them. They need to do stuff. But really, there's an unmet need underneath wanting them to stop turning the story to them. And that's something to identify and then meet that need for ourselves. Or again, set a necessary boundary if needed. How do you stop controlling everything and just let things be? This is a big one. What seems to be helpful is doing two things. Simultaneously recognizing through self-awareness when you enter control mode and soothing yourself to choose differently and acknowledge the parts of you that don't trust the universe and don't trust that you're safe. Controlling is just a coping mechanism. It's just a trauma adaptive coping mechanism. So when we don't feel like we have the power within ourselves to feel the way we want to feel and to have the life we want to have, we think that somehow we need to control the outside world to get what we want. There's no shame in it. It really is just a coping mechanism from trauma. So just being aware of the controlling behavior and then being compassionate and understand where it comes from, and then soothe yourself to choose differently. And then acknowledge those parts of you that don't trust that you're safe enough to let go. It's all about compassion and coming back to ourselves. Okay, here's a cool question. So how do you avoid overstimulation when traveling? I'm an HSP and an empath. So this is a great question. So I keep my self-care routine when I travel. I do not take vacations from well-being. It's like well-being is my lifestyle. Daily healing is my lifestyle. So I make sure I'm well hydrated. I might bring a noise-reducing headset, and I always take my tourmaline bracelets and necklace during travel. Also, I don't sit in crowded gate areas. You know, I will find an empty gate and only move to my gate when it's time to load. This is really about self-awareness, you guys, and understanding what your limits are. And then once you know what your limits are, you follow through and you make the necessary adjustments. And you don't worry about other people in your family that don't get overstimulated, that don't need that space. It really is about allowing everyone to care for themselves the way they need to, so we can all be the best version of ourselves. All right, so I love this question. So I'm working on me, it's getting tough to accept myself on days I am not doing necessary work. I feel this one deeply, because one of my trauma responses is to push, do, until I believed in the past that I would somehow arrive at some place where I would feel better if I just did enough, did more. So I think this is about reframing and understanding that rest is part of the necessary work. Like rest is still doing the work. So the context of work in this question is like, in this question, work means taking action that is going to lead to some grand change, right? And I think it's in the context of like work means you're putting forth sweat, like there's, you know, sweat equity in it. So I would reframe that where when we're talking about healing and you're doing the work, rest and doing nothing is part of the work. So that is important to decipher and accept.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Are you suffering from chronic disease? Or maybe you're trying to live to 120 and optimize your health? Either way, the Your Health, Your Story podcast is for you. My name's Casper Schultz, and I've been traveling the world meeting with top doctors and experts in medicine and health with amazing discoveries that are making the incurable curable. I decided I had to share these stories to empower others who are seeking solutions but just couldn't find them. So join us for weekly enlightening discussions on how to beat chronic disease and live an incredibly healthy life that you won't hear about elsewhere.
All right. Are empaths really capable of healing and protecting themselves further from evil energies? Everyone, including empaths, are capable of setting and following through on energetic boundaries. We get to decide how drained we allow ourselves to be. Absolutely, 100%, we are capable, we are empowered, we have the power. We are not victims in any way. And I think, again, when in this question, it's like, are we really capable of protecting ourselves from evil energies? This question is worded that somehow evil is stronger than, like, shadow is stronger than light. And I don't believe that at all. So yes, we are absolutely capable of setting and following through on energetic boundaries and knowing where our limits are and loving ourselves and giving ourselves what we need to thrive. Okay, how do you manage when tolerating distress becomes self-destructive? So be willing to take an honest look at your boundaries and taking an honest look in terms of why your boundaries are difficult for you and get support around implementing them and get support around soothing yourself through the uncomfortable spots, which it does get uncomfortable, really uncomfortable. And being okay, again, with you're not for everyone. It's okay to upset people. It's okay not to meet people's needs. All those things that we fear are not okay actually are okay. So prioritize yourself, prioritize your boundaries. Being an empath has to do with childhood trauma or not necessarily. So being hypervigilant is a trauma response. So sometimes people are holding trauma and living with a sensitive nervous system, but you don't have to have childhood trauma to experience the world as an empath. All right, so here's a good one. How do I forgive myself for falling back to people pleasing on and off again? By understanding that all of us humans experience the ebb and flow of life and the ebb and flow of change, and that's normal and to be expected. Most change is a threat to the ego, so it's okay that you go back and forth. So if you look at it as if, you know, you're looking at a wounded child who's trying but very afraid of being hurt again, your brain is trying to protect you and doing what it learned to do. So just be patient and compassionate towards yourself. How do I learn to self-soothe and enjoy time away from my partner? So we learn by doing. So daily consistent action. So celebrating the tiny wins. So I'm not sure if this person is asking how to enjoy time alone away from their spouse or how to ask for time away. If it's how to implement time away, it's communicating your boundaries and navigating through caring what other people think. right? Really understanding that time away is part of your self-care and actually what you need to fill yourself back up. All right, so here is a great question, one that I wish I understood and had the answer for when my kids were newborns. So having trouble keeping emotions separate from my newborn, advice, question mark. It's like, wow, this is a huge one. So new moms need time alone to ground and come back into themselves. So amped self-care. So we live in a society now, it's changing. Absolutely. I see that it's changing. There's so many more amazing people that are bringing awareness to the care that new moms need, right? Before my generation and before, all the focus is on the baby. Like, oh, they come and see the baby, right? Which is fine. But the mom has been through, you know, a lot, and she needs support and care and nutrition and rest. And a lot of women, they get home from the hospital and their bodies are ravaged. They need time to heal. And the spouse goes back to work right away and they're alone in their healing. And they're trying to meet these needs of this newborn, which are just constant. So I know it can feel like we shouldn't, as new moms, want time alone, but shoulds are laced in shame. So it's imperative for mom's mental and physical health to demand time for your care. You need to fill yourself up. You need time to heal. The system that most new moms work under is not sustainable, and it's nor aligned with, you know, the well-being of women. So to all the new moms out there, I wish you all the love and care and nurturing and healing that you need at this time. Is there a correlation between being an empath and being kind? I'm going to say no. Empaths can be unkind. We do not own the corner of the market on kindness. It's a choice, and can be hard if we're overwhelmed, triggered, tired, hungry, etc. So we are all human beings. Empath, the term empath is just how we experience the world, but it definitely doesn't make us better at kindness. Here's one. Any tips for a pregnant empath? I would say amp up your self-care. You change your care as your body and mental needs change. Hydrate, rest, honor the magic that you are. You are growing life. You are magical and powerful. Have your boundaries and expectations clear and communicated. Prioritize your care after the baby comes. Be precise with your support system. And please do not let the world treat you like you are, like your well-being and needs don't matter during or after birth. Amp up your self-care and communicate your needs. All right, guys, that was the end of the questions from the past. So I'm going to answer a couple that came in today. How do I not take things personally, such as rude attitude or people cutting me off in line? This actually, if you want to, can be turned into almost like an exercise of consciousness and mental resilience. So you can use those instances, right? So when someone is rude or cuts you off in line or cuts you off in traffic, as a call to bring you into consciousness. And it's almost like you can use those moments as your meditation practice, like your spiritual practice, because it's really about, it's not about their behavior. It's about you managing your energy and taking accountability for how your body's reacting. All right, another one. How do I spend time with people who have poor or non-existent boundaries? Well, first I would say it's really not about their non-existent boundaries. It's about your boundaries. So what are your boundaries around these people? And what are your consequences in terms of what is your follow through if those boundaries aren't met? And you have to be willing to take accountability to follow through on your boundaries around their non-existent boundaries. So again, the theme is it always comes back to us. All right. Tips on how to take care of myself as an extroverted empath. It can be challenging. It absolutely can. So I'm not an extrovert. I'm an introvert. And I know that we're all a mixed bag in terms of, you know, our uniqueness and our needs. So I would turn it back to you and say, okay, so what do you know that you need and what are your limits and what fills you up and what brings you joy? So how much downtime do you need? How much time do you need? How much time can you spend out in an environment before you feel drained? So you should have like I've talked about this before, proactive self-care and active self-care. You have to get really clear on what your limits are and follow through on your own boundaries. Like you need to have boundaries with yourself around your time, around your energy, around your thoughts and how you talk to yourself. Like these are all important boundaries that I would say get really clear with. And then it'll be easier for you to take care of yourself because you will truly understand what your needs are and how to meet them. I'm going to end with this question, you guys, because the world right now just seems to be getting more chaotic by the day. And as an empath, like all of you, I want to be honest. It's a lot right now. And this person says, do I compartmentalize what's happening in Afghanistan? Or do I allow myself to despair? So I don't think allowing ourselves to go into despair helps anyone. I don't think it helps the people in Afghanistan. I don't think it helps the men and women that are being shipped over there as we speak, whose lives are in grave danger. But again, we have to honor our bodies and what we're feeling too. So all I can say is that personally, what I'm going to do is I am limiting my exposure to the news, which I always do, but I'm not going to be on social media as much. I'm going to go and make sure that I'm taking great care of myself. I'm going to allow myself to feel the feelings. I have really good boundaries around. I understand when I'm sitting with feelings and my nervous system is getting to the point where I'm now getting almost beyond triggered, maybe going towards activation where that's actually harmful to my body, that I try not to allow myself to go past that point where it's actually damaging me. So I can feel for, and I did over the weekend, like, I'm feeling for the troops. I'm feeling for the people of Afghanistan that are trying to get out of there. I'm feeling the grief that we are back now in a war. Like I'm feeling all of this and I'm honoring those feelings. And I'm making sure that I'm caring for my nervous system too while I do that. I'm going to end there, you guys. Have a fabulous rest of your day. Have a great week. Take care of yourselves. Nurture, rest. Cultivate joy, maintain your curiosity, and know that we are all in this together.
Thanks for listening to the Realized Empath Podcast. Revisit past episodes or contact Kristen at realizedempath.com. Did you love this episode? Please share it with a friend. Thanks for tuning in. Until next time, sensitive souls.